You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Tommy, the Oilers rookies finishing up the two-game series with the Flames last night. Your thoughts on game two?
Good start to the game. Got that power play goal from Lavoie, which is good to see. I'm really curious and keen on seeing him throughout training camp and what kind of player he's going to kind of evolve into. And then the Flames kind of, you know, pushed back in the second and third. And it was a 2-1 game, Gregs. Konovalov looked good, moves well. Nice to finally see him in action in an Oiler uniform because there's a lot of curiosity there. And ultimately, you know, the Oilers rookies couldn't get the pushback that they needed and convert in the third period. So, you know, a good little run here for the rookies as they get set for the season. Some of them are going to move on to main camp, and they were supposed to skate today, but that was kiboshed late last night. And now we can shift our attention and focus to training camp starting tomorrow with the medicals and physicals. So, tough one for Samarukov. Obviously, tough news for Holloway, but good to see Konovalov. Good to see Lavoie. Good to see Borgo finally, because there's a lot of curiosity there as well. And now we shift our attention to the main group.
You get the sense that all the players from rookie camp are going to be participating in the main camp at least for a few days?
Now, see, this is something that used to happen like. It was almost automatic where they would just bring the entire group and they'd have the rookies there for a few days. But it's kind of fizzled away in the last couple of years. And my hunch, I haven't asked or gotten any clarification. My hunch is that they're going to just take a handful of them, maybe 10, something like that, and keep them around. And then the other ones, the camp invites or the rookie camp invites, get distributed back to their respective teams. But I guess we'll find out maybe later today or early tomorrow what they're going to do. But it feels like they've kind of gone away from that in the last few years.
No, that's true. This year, though, because they've already lost two players, right, in Samarukov and Holloway, I think they probably want to fill those two spots with some other guys. And then you mentioned that they didn't really have a huge rookie camp following to begin with, right? Like some years used to be way more players in rookie camp, but not as many this year. I think the goaltenders, they'll bring three of them. Kruger, I don't think, would come, but. Unless they just need an extra goalie for practice, right? Because the last few years, though, Tom, remember, they almost had three groups, right? They had A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the Oilers don't have, like, right now they got 43 contracts plus Colton Sevier, so it's only 44. Like, they don't have many. And then you add in a few other ones. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if for the first bit you'll see the majority of them there. And I wonder if even a few potential AHL-only contract guys might be in camp. We'll see. Just to have some numbers so you're not taxing too many of your veteran guys having to play too many preseason games.
True. And it is, I mean, it's a full slate. We've got 8 preseason games. Normally, what do they do? 5, 6 maybe. Last year, obviously, none. And this, I mean, presents an opportunity if they go that route for a few of these guys to get an extra look and maybe make an impression and turn some heads and change some opinions in a good way, which, you know, take advantage of your opportunity. So maybe that does happen. But yeah, but didn't it seem silly to a while back there when they did have those three groups where, you know, we're sitting around and by the third group, you're like, you know, what are these guys doing? It was basically them getting the AHL and ECHL teams ready to go, I suppose. Yeah. A bit of a head start there.
I think the reason you'll have it, Tommy, is some of these players just haven't played a lot of hockey in the last year. Right? You got to remember, not like Raphael Lavoie talked about that himself. Like, he was pretty lucky. He got to play. So I think that's why you'll see them just around, you know, for training camp, even for a few days, just to get guys on the ice more and have some up-tempo skates for some of these players who have had very limited, you know, games. And, you know, they play those scrimmages like they normally do in training camp fairly quickly. So I think it's just an opportunity just to have guys maybe a few more puck touches at a high-tempo game more than anything else. And that leads me to my next question. Tommy Gazzola joins us. Tommy, I wrote the article today about, you know, the Oilers and their goals. And you can read the article at OilersNation.com. It breaks it down, you know, where the Oilers are, where they were last season when it came to goals. as a group. And you know, I'll be honest, I kind of forgot that the Oilers finished seventh in the NHL in goals last year. And I think there's a real legit chance that they could be a top five team in goals for this coming season. They were actually ninth in 5-on-5 goals last year. And keep in mind, the Pacific Division was actually the lowest scoring division of the four. Or sorry, North Division, my apologies, the yeah. North. It's no longer the North, but now it'll be the Pacific. And so I actually broke it down to how many goals that would be if they averaged between 3.45 and 3.5 goals per game, anywhere from 283 to 287. And I broke it down from the top down with, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl almost, you know, coming close to scoring in the high 90s is what I predict this year. You know, barring injury, of course, that you got to say mm-hmm. that for everything. But, mm-hmm. you know, Puljujarvi, Nugent, Hopkins, Hyman, I had as, you know, 3, 4, 5. Then I had Yamamoto and Nurse tie, but Yamamoto, you know, I had him at 15 goals. You think that's low? What do you think the expectations are? And when you looked at all the numbers, is there any that stood out to you that you thought, you know what, I don't see that one happening?
Well, I'm with you on the 98. I think, what did you have? Draisaitl, McDavid around 98. These guys are going to fly this year. It's just a continuity of what we saw last year. The one for me, Yamamoto, it's almost like a role reversal between him and Puljujärvi. You remember last year going into the season, he was the hot commodity. He was the one coming off a fantastic finish to the 19-20 season. And he got off to an okay start. And it was Puljujärvi who got off to the slower start. People were wondering, like, is this going to finally click for Jesse Puljujärvi? And it took a little while, but he finally got going. And then it kind of turned the tides. And one guy went into a prolonged drought in Yamamoto, one goal in the last 25 games for him. And then the other guy kind of turned it on when Puljujärvi wound up with 15 goals. So I think Puljujärvi gets the benefit of the doubt here. I think it's totally reasonable. I'll go with Puljujärvi first here, Greg. I think it's totally reasonable for Puljujärvi to get to 20 plus. And I don't think it's unreasonable to expect Yamamoto to push for 15 to 20, especially if he's getting a lot of gravy time with Draisaitl, if he is able to utilize the fire that drives him after getting his 1 year show me prove it type of contract. And those will have, these guys are going to have to make up for the lost goals that they had in Alex Chiasson, Dominic Cahoon. Chiasson had 9, Cahoon had 8, Neil had a few, although a lot of those were in garbage time, you know, a couple goals against Ottawa that were just sloppy goals there. So I think honestly, the safe money is on Puljujärvi getting to the 20 mark. Yamamoto, I would expect the bar to be at least at 15 and pushing for 20. And then, you know, you kind of hit it on the article. The reaction when Yamamoto signed, saying that it's going to be tricky for them to sign Puljujärvi and Yamamoto going into next year because of the term. But they've got enough money to play around with and then fill whatever holes they have left, I think, still going into next year.
Who do you see as, like, Russell, Cuckoo, Lagesson, Broberg? Who are the? Is it automatically Russell and Cuckoo that are 6-7, or do you
I think so.
Which one do you see coming in? Maybe.
Yeah, Russell and Cuckoo, I think, is just the safe play right now, and Broberg, I think, will be able to have some persuasion with strong play either A in training camp or B when he goes down to Bakersfield, and if he can take off in the AHL and something inevitably, you know, again, knock on wood, happens to defensemen particularly. And when that occurs, if he's ready to go and gets the call up and doesn't look back, I think that he could maybe disrupt that last two guys in Cuckoo and Russell and force a change potentially. Then again, you got to keep in mind that Russell can slide over to the right side if there's an issue there. And then, you know, Cuckoo, I think, likes to be a jack of all trades as well. Maybe not as effectively as some others, but in a pinch, he'll do it. And that's what a good jack of all trades can do. So I think Broberg could make a push.
Yeah, I'm with you. What about the fourth line left wing spot? Like, Devin Shore would seem to, he's the incumbent, if we want to call it that. There's Perlini. There's Benson. There's also a guy who I think is going to battle for the extra winger spot, and I think he's going to get himself a contract, is Colton Sevier. But opening night, Everybody's healthy. Who do you think the fourth line left winger is?
Oh, I'll take a just a wild one here. I'll go and say Brennan Perlini. And, you know, I think the safe bet would be to say Tyler Benson, and there's a lot of good reasons why. But if Perlini comes in and establishes that he's still capable of what he was able to do a few years ago in Arizona, still has the wheels, confidence with the puck, and can convert, those are deadly traits to possess. And he's big too, Greggs. He's a big guy. So he has the experience and knowledge of what it takes to produce at the NHL level, to be counted on as a top six guy, because he was one on a bad Arizona team for a little while. And if he can use that to galvanize him, then he could be the one that kind of steals that spot and tries to climb the ladder in this lineup, but I think he's in tough. So I'll go with Perlini just to throw one out there.
Perlini, interesting. Yeah, I think... Well, we'll see. You know, it's curious because he's coming back from Europe, and we'll find out. He's a big body that can skate, but you know, can he play at the pro level? He had 1 year where he showed you some signs, and now that is kind of being inconsistent. Devin Shore is very consistent. Whether you like him or not, the coach knows exactly what he gets from Devin Shore, so that can be an advantage for sure. Tommy, have yourself a good one. Enjoy the Jays and the Rays tonight.
Oh, baby. Can't wait to see what happens. Hey, did you see that Kiermaier thing when he stole the...
Yeah, what'd you think?
Ooh, well, dirty.
Now, did he steal it? I guess, like, is that stealing if it falls right in your lap and the guy walks away?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that's over the line. Did you hear
his answer? Because he keeps his fielding piece of paper in the back of his pocket, right? So when he picked it up originally, he's like, oh, that might, you know, it's probably mine. And then he says, as he was walking to the dugout, he looked, he's like, yeah, this isn't my writing. This isn't mine. Right, and then he didn't give it back. So at that point, is it gamesmanship?
A little bit, but at the same time, that's crossing the line still, right? Like, you're stealing the notes from the other team. It's a fortuitous situation. Yeah, probably a no-no, especially with all those cameras on him and not giving it back or dropping it. That's a big no-no, I think, overall.
All right. You watch. If the Jays win tonight, suddenly, I guess that piece of paper didn't matter that much.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Tommy G, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Greg. See you tomorrow.